Moms are an amazing gift from God. Amen. The things that moms have to put up with for us, I mean, it's just superhuman at times, right? Once in a while, though, I talk with someone who says that their mom wasn't so great. And yet they're standing there talking to me, which that itself attests to the fact that their moms did a lot for them, right? I mean, we literally wouldn't even be here without them. So, at least on some level, you have to be thankful for your mom. I mean, our moms gave us life. Our moms fed us, at least for those 9 months in which we reached out for their bodies, right? Our moms encouraged us and taught us. And most of us had moms who brought us to church and every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, because to them, God was their Savior. Jesus was their Savior. They wanted to teach us to always follow the Lord. And yet, not every mom is a good mom. And from time to time, you hear about a mom who was just horrible to her children. A little over a week ago, a mom in Georgia was given a birthday cake that was full of marijuana, and then she left that cake in arm's reach of her 5-year-old son. And then the next morning, that son ate cake for breakfast and went to school stoned. Another mom in Michigan left her 2-year-old son in a hot jacuzzi and unattended came back and saw that the child was submerged underwater. And when the first responders arrived at the scene, they found the child still submerged under the water with 50% of the child's body burned. Then another mom. A mom of a child caught her. Threw her child off the bridge. 6-year-old child. And it died. In fact, we believe the Bible says there are no good moms. Because every mom, like every person, is a sinner. And some moms do a good job of hiding that reality, right? I mean, some moms do really well at putting on a happy face and hiding their sins and raising us in such a way that we know the Lord. But some other moms don't do so well with that. Well, if we believe what Jesus said about such things, we must admit that every mom, every dad, every single one of us, in fact, is not good, but has broken God's commands.
Meet Mr. Nice Guy. You think you're nice? This guy is really nice.
Well, I try to do what's right.
He's so nice that if good people get to heaven, he'll be the first in line.
Ah, shucks.
So, Mr. Nice Guy, have you kept the Ten Commandments?
Pretty much.
Do you mind if we take a look at them and maybe see how nice you really are?
Okay.
Great. Here's one. You shall not lie. Mr. Nice Guy, have you ever told a lie?
Well, yeah. Who hasn't?
What do you call somebody who tells lies?
A liar.
All right. How about another commandment? You shall not steal. Have you ever stolen anything, even once?
Nope.
But you just told me you're a liar.
Well, I did steal some candy once when I was a kid.
And what do you call someone who steals?
A thief.
All right. Let's try another one. You shall not commit adultery.
Oh, that's easy. I'd never cheat on my wife.
Hi, handsome.
Oh, baby!
Jesus said, if you even look at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart.
Oh, right.
One more. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Have you ever used God's name to curse?
Oh, my.
That, Mr. Nice Guy, is called blasphemy. God gave you life and breath and everything you have, and you've dragged his name through the dirt. So, by your own admission, you're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. And that's just four of the Ten Commandments.
Okay, so I'm not perfect.
Well, actually, it's worse than that. Suppose we could put a chip in your brain that would record all your private thoughts for an entire week and then play those thoughts on a giant movie screen for all your friends and family to see.
That would be embarrassing.
Yeah, I know. The Bible says God knows everything, even the secret thoughts of your heart.
Well, compared to some people, I'm a saint.
Yeah, that's true. But the standard is God's law, not other people. Besides, even if you sin just five times a day, in 1 year, that's 1,825 sins. And if you live to be 70 years old, you'll have broken God's law over 127,000 times. You'll have to answer for every sin on Judgment Day, when the Bible says each of us will give an account of himself to God.
But God will forgive me, right?
I like that video because it reminds us that all sin is sin. All sin is sin. And therefore, we are all evil sinners. The book of James says that even if you keep the whole law and then stumble at just one point of it, you're guilty of breaking all of it. I worked as a residential counselor at a boys' home for troubled boys while I paid my way through seminary. And in our training for that position, we were told to tell the boys that they were not bad, but that they only occasionally did bad things. And that's a prevailing psychological theory that's taught everywhere today in the world. It's taught in schools. It's taught in Hollywood when you watch TV. It's even taught in most churches. That we're not bad, but basically good. And it's true that we were originally made good, right? I mean, even very good. God said he looked at everything and thought it was very good, but then we sinned. And now we even continue to break God's commands. Every time we lie. Every time we lust. Every time we overeat or neglect to help somebody in need. Because James says that anytime you have a good thought, even you know the good that you ought to do but don't do it, you sin. We constantly break God's law. I don't know about you, but all the time, I know the good that I ought to do and don't do it. So it should be abundantly clear that we're not basically good, but completely sinful. Because no one is good but God alone. Well, anyway, we were told to tell the boys at that home that they weren't bad, but good. And most of the counselors that worked there told them that over and over and over again. So often, in fact, that the boys knew to expect it, especially, you know, after they engage in some kind of inappropriate behavior, they expected to hear, it's not that you're bad, you just occasionally do bad things. So one morning after the boys were in an argument, I was working with some older boys that morning, and one morning after an argument, after they were arguing about who picks what to watch on TV, and it proceeded to, they started talking about each other's mothers, and not in a Mother's Day kind of way, but in a very inappropriate kind of way. So I stepped in to redirect them to a more positive conversation. Well, afterward, I was talking with one of the boys and encouraging him to make better choices, more positive choices next time. And he said something like, "But I'm still good, right? I'm still good, right?" And I said no. And he just looked at me like, are you crazy? I mean, you're supposed to tell me that I'm good, that I'm not bad, that I haven't completely messed up. I said no. You're bad just like me. Because we've all sinned. We've all sinned against God, but if we ask Him for forgiveness, He forgives us. Now, this particular boy had already confessed to know Jesus Christ as Savior, so he knew where I was coming from then at that point. But because he'd been lied to about his own nature so much, he still felt a degree of lostness. So rather than surrendering his sin, he often continued to fight for himself so that he might finally feel peace and rest in this world. And I wonder how many people living in the world today have never been told that there's something deeply, deeply wrong with us. You know, we feel it, but we try to suppress it. Because we've bought the lie that this is our home. And if this is our home, then we've got to make the best of it. And that means always thinking the best of ourselves, even when we feel like deep down we're not okay on our own. We need God to help us. And God is good. And so He does help us. But how He helps us is far greater than we could ever imagine. Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 11. What father among you, if his father asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Let's pray. Father, forgive us of being evil. Transform us and make us more like You, who gives us good gifts by Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our passage this morning starts with a question. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? So I'm going to ask that same question to all of you right now. So I'm going to open it up, though, since it's Mother's Day, to mothers as well. So I need all the moms and dads, if you've ever been a mom or a dad, to stand up right now. I need all the moms and dads, if you've ever been a mom or a dad, to stand up right now. And I'm going to ask you that question. If your child asks for a fish, would you give them a snake instead? If that's true, you stay standing. Otherwise, sit down. And not just any snake. Okay, so sit down if you would give your child a snake instead of a fish. Well, no. Keep standing, brother. Did I say that the wrong way? Hold on. It's probably confusing everyone right now. Yeah.
If you would give your child a snake instead of a fish, stay standing, okay? And not just any snake, not a pet snake, but a snake that, like, would bite you and kill you with venom, if that's the case. So nobody would do that? Anyone? Nobody would? Okay, so stand back up, moms and dads.
One more. I promised last time, okay? Last time. The second question, though, is, would you give, if your child asked for an egg, would give them a scorpion? So if you give them a scorpion, stay standing. Otherwise, sit down.
And like I said, once again, not just any scorpion, but the scorpions in that region at that time were venomous scorpions. I mean, the one sting from this guy, and you would swell up and have extreme pain, and then that pain would eventually lead to numbness and coldness in your hands and feet, and probably even to death. So nobody would give a scorpion to their child.
Why not? Right? Why not? Why would we not give our child a serpent or a scorpion? I mean, we've already established the truth that we're all evil sinners, right? I mean, Jesus even says that in the next verse. He says, if you then, who are evil... You see, we're all evil. So, it's amazing that we know how to give good gifts to each other at all. Right? But God is good. It's in His nature to give good gifts. So if we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts? Not evil things, but good. To us. In fact, every truly good thing that we receive is from God. Because God is the giver of good gifts. So even when you receive a good gift from someone else, yeah, thank them, but ultimately, thank God. Because ultimately, that good gift came from them. The thing is, God uses imperfect people, even evil people, to do His will. So praise Him. Because every good gift is from above. God gives us good gifts, even the best of gifts. At the end of 13, it says this: how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Jesus said something very similar, almost word for word, in the Sermon on the Mount. Except there, instead of mentioning the Holy Spirit, He said that God would give us good things. Or many translations say good gifts to those who ask Him. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11 says, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him?" And it's true that God gives good gifts, good things to those who ask Him. But why did Jesus say it one way in the Sermon on the Mount and then another way when His disciples asked Him how to pray, to teach them to pray? I mean, if you follow the natural flow of the thought, it makes more sense to stick with good things or good gifts at the end there, right? I mean, it makes sense to say, if we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father, who's good, give good gifts to those who ask Him? That's only a logical progression of thought, right? So why change it in Luke to say the Holy Spirit? And where did the Holy Spirit even come from? I mean, Jesus seems to just change topics all of a sudden in this thought, interjecting this idea about receiving the Holy Spirit. I mean, what we read from Luke, this is only the second time that Jesus even ever mentioned the Holy Spirit. And check this out. The first time didn't even have to do with us, but Himself. Jesus said this in Luke 4:18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." The Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus. He anointed Jesus. He empowered Him. Through Him, He proclaimed good news to the poor, and He healed the blind, and He healed the sick, and did all these sorts of things by the Spirit. And it's not that Jesus couldn't do those things without the Spirit of the Lord. After all, Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh. And Jesus is Himself all-powerful. But it's just that Jesus, being the Son of God, always had the Holy Spirit with Him. And now we learn in Luke chapter 11 that this same Spirit isn't just given to Jesus, but is given to everyone who asks for Him. So God gives us not just good gifts, but the Holy Spirit. I mean, that should cause us to be so in awe of the goodness of God that we who are evil can be blessed to have God with us, the Holy Spirit with us, the same way that Jesus had the Holy Spirit with Him to empower us, to help us. And God's good gift of the Holy Spirit, no matter what we go through, God is right there with us to bring us through. And that caused me to wonder, is any gift better than the Holy Spirit? You know, we might say that salvation is better. But I would respond that salvation apart from God's presence, which is what the Holy Spirit is for us today, apart from God's presence, salvation isn't really salvation. I mean, God's presence is what makes salvation so good. Without the Holy Spirit, salvation is just a means of getting what we want, using God for our own selfish purposes. Put it this way. It's awesome that God gives good gifts. But what good is a good gift if we're evil? I mean, we'll just end up using that good gift for our own evil purposes, right? We'll end up taking that good gift, twisting it in some way, conforming it to ourselves, our own evil will, and trampling on it as if it were not really good. Because we're evil. We take God's good gift and curse it and beat it and nail it to a tree, which is what we did when Jesus sent His Son into the world. But this was according to God's plan. Because God doesn't just give us what we think we want. He gives us what we really need. And even when we took the Son of God and nailed Him to that tree, it was according to His plan, because He knew we would be evil with His good gift. And it was a part of God's plan, because God does something far greater than simply give us good gifts. He didn't just give us things. He gave us Himself. And because of that, God would come into us and live in us, so that God isn't far from us, but near to us, living inside of us. You see, salvation isn't just about avoiding hell and someday going to heaven when you die. It's about being freed from sin, sanctified by His Spirit, who is with us even now. So at least in terms of life today, God's Holy Spirit is the best gift. The best of gifts. And yet, salvation and heaven, what we often consider the best of gifts, are eternally linked to receiving the Holy Spirit. Here's what it says in Ezekiel 37:14. I will put My Spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Did you get that? Do you see what that means? It's saying that when God puts His Spirit within us, that's when we have life. That's when we can know where our true home is. It's all linked to heaven, you see. The promised land, heaven. And we can know that God is going to take us there. Not because we've earned it, but because God spoke it. And God never lies. And He's with us even now. So how do we receive the Spirit? Jesus said that we simply ask. We don't receive the Spirit, salvation, heaven through our own works. We can't make ourselves acceptable enough. We don't receive the Holy Spirit through speaking in tongues or laying on of hands or anointing with oil. We receive the Holy Spirit when we simply ask God for Him. And you see, I think that's exactly the same as asking God for Jesus. Because the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they're not three gods, but one God. And when you receive Jesus, you've received the Holy Spirit. And He lives in you. So the point of this passage is not that we need to pray to receive Christ and then pray to receive the Spirit or vice versa. The point is simply that the Holy Spirit is far greater than anything you could ask for. And that God freely gives them to us because of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sin. And that's the only way it could be. It's the only way we could possibly receive the Spirit, because we who are evil cannot earn anything good for ourselves by our evil works. We can only receive the good by grace. And then the Holy Spirit makes you good. So when that boy came to me and said, I'm still good, right? I said, no. But God can forgive you of all of your sin. And then He can make you good. See, He helps us to do good things. When God sees us from heaven, even now, He doesn't see bad people, because through the lens of Christ, we're good people, because His Spirit is good. And so that when we stand before Him on the day of judgment, He tells us, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Not because we made ourselves good, but because the Holy Spirit makes us good as we rest in Jesus Christ. So hey, be thankful for your mom. But be even more thankful for God Himself, who comes to live in your heart by grace through faith. Let's pray. Father, thank You for giving us so many promises. Promises that You hear our prayers. Promises of good gifts. Promises of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus. And thank You that You don't simply make these promises and wait for us to fulfill them for ourselves. But thank You that You fulfill them in us by giving us Your Spirit, empowering us and changing us so that we might live for You as we rest in You. So God, transform us even now by Your Spirit so that we long more and more for our eternal home with You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.